You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout Sales Event is on. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. And now up on TSN 2, Brian Hayes and Jonah Siegel in here from The Athletic. Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, will be in studio in about 5 minutes. The Leafs in action tonight in Philly. Raptors in action tonight at home against Miami. Kyle Lowry will make his return tonight. So, again, they've more than just survived without him. They're 15-4 on the season. They've been great. They were great with him before he got injured. Maybe even better without him.
I was a little surprised that wasn't anticipated. Now, would you expect them to be this good without him? No. But there was like, oh my God, how are they going to play without Lowry and Ibaka? But didn't we just learn like how deep and like how much metal that they were showing after winning the championship? Do you know what I mean? Like maybe we shouldn't have been that surprised. Like they're a really good team.
Yeah, they are.
And I mean, you were taking Lowry out. You were giving maybe a little bit more time to Fred VanVleet, a little more time to Norm Powell. Chris Boucher like comes in and plays pretty good minutes for Ibaka. Like maybe, I don't know, it kind of makes sense. They've got like an MVP candidate, sort of.
Yeah,
Pascal Siakam.
I think we had to find that out though, right?
Like, yeah, you're right.
Even like Serge Ibaka was speaking on it either today or yesterday, where he even admitted to his own surprise that they've been as good as they have been. Like that's a guy who's been here for a while.
True.
And I think that pretty much explains. I like that type of candor and honesty because during the summer and during training camp, I'm sure we could go back and dig up quotes where they'd say, yeah, you know, it would have been great to have Kawhi back, but we still believe in ourselves. We still feel great. We still feel like we can be a competitive team. And Serge is actually letting us know how they really felt, or at least how he felt. Like, he thought they'd be a good team. I think everyone expected the Raptors would be a playoff team, even without Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green. But they are a legitimate top five team in the NBA without the two of them. Yeah. And it was even more exposed without Lowry and Ibaka.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think these guys, like we needed Kawhi and Green to leave to truly amplify how great of a coach Nick Nurse is, the abilities of Siakam, the abilities of Fred VanVleet. And we needed Lowry and Ibaka to get injured to find out the rest of the story.
Yeah, that they're even deeper maybe than we thought.
Exactly. Yeah. Terrence Davis can play. Hollis Jefferson can play. Chris Boucher can play. Right?
Well, is there anybody they could play in the East where you would say they have no shot?
Absolutely not.
I think they could beat anyone in the East.
The only guy I don't think they can shut down is Giannis.
But even that, like, granted they had Kawhi, which makes a significant difference. Yeah, but like they had a style of play where they kind of shut Giannis down a little bit. And I don't know, now not having the best defender maybe in the world hurts, but like Pascal Siakam is still a pretty agile defender who can basically guard any position.
Yeah, he is. I mean, I wouldn't say it would be, I think Milwaukee would be favored.
Sure, but like
they were favored a year
ago. Six or seven, right?
Yeah, I mean, but remember what changed. Like Milwaukee blew them up the first two games, were up 2-0, and then by all accounts what happened was Kawhi said to Nick Nurse, give me Giannis. And he completely changed the tide of the whole series because Giannis became completely neutralized offensively. Like, he was still getting decent numbers. It's not like he was putting up, like, 0 points like Embiid last week. He was still putting up 18, 20, 23, 24. But in the second half, and specifically the fourth quarter, he completely dried up.
Yeah.
And Kawhi completely took off. And that's the genius of Kawhi Leonard, is that he could give that type of effort, that type of production defensively, and not run out of gas offensively. He'd still be the one that would take them on runs in the fourth quarter last spring.
Although by the end of the finals, he looked like he was almost out of gas.
I think he was on fumes, but they didn't need him as much.
But you know what's interesting about this is now it's completely changed the conversation around the team. There is no way they're trading any of these guys. Like if you're Masai, you have to be watching this and thinking, why can't we get back to the finals?
The only way you trade is if it's an upgrade. Like, maybe you trade Marcus Gasol because you need that money going out because you're bringing money in.
Yeah.
That's the only way
it's selling
happening.
Off that would be
there's no way. And I didn't think he was going to do that anyway. because if you look back, even before the Kawhi for DeMar deal, there were a lot of cries for them to say, enough.
Yeah.
Blow it up, restart. You cannot find the right, you know, pedigree here. You can't put together the right pieces to find a way to win a championship or even get to a final or get through LeBron. I mean, it was that specific and isolated. Can you find a way to get through LeBron? And Masai never listened to the mob. And he never adhered to it, and he just kept chipping away and chipping away and chipping away. And I believe that that mentality was going to apply this year anyway. Like, even with Kawhi leaving, he knew they were going to be a pretty good team, and he believed in a culture, this idea that if you keep winning, you're going to churn out winners, you're going to churn out players that maybe you didn't expect that much out of. Case in point, Chris Boucher.
Yeah.
Case in point, Terrence Davis. And it's paid off for them.
But if they were, like, right around 500, and they were, let's say, like, I don't know, a 6-7 seed, I think you'd hear talk like that maybe they should try to trade Lowry.
Oh, you'd hear the talk. I just don't think he would do it.
You don't think, like, he would... I think he would more seriously consider it if it didn't look like they could win the East. And it looks like it's not crazy that they could win the East. I mean, you watched that... You mentioned that game against the Sixers. They look significantly better than the Sixers. And the Sixers, I don't think they had Josh Richardson, but the Raptors were without Lowry, without Ibaka, and they took him.
Yeah. Matt Thomas, I mean, now he's further down the bench, but he's a guy that can play.
Yeah.
McCaw's done for the most part for, well, at least for the foreseeable future. Again, a guy that can chip in and give you some minutes. He's not even available to them.
Mm-hmm. Interesting that you mentioned, like, that maybe you even try to upgrade. That would be fascinating.
That's something that I don't think is out of the realm of possibility. Now, I think they're looking 2 years ahead. They're not going to take on a ticket that's going to go past 2021, because if Giannis becomes a free agent, by all accounts, Masai is pretty focused on that and wants an opportunity to be able to hand over a max deal and court him and bring him here. But without knowing exactly who's on the market, who's going to be available between now and the trade deadline, that wouldn't shock me. That wouldn't surprise me at all. If they're on pace for 55 wins in second or third in the East, why wouldn't you try to upgrade? Because they're not going to fall off a cliff.
No.
Like, even with Gasol, Gasol is not bringing anything offensively this year. Defensively, he's still pretty strong. He moves the ball. His basketball IQ is very valued. It should be valued. But he's done at the end of the year. Ibaka, I think they'll move on from. Lowry's got one more year. But Siakam, Van Vliet, as long as Van Vliet re-signs and comes back, and I think that he will, OG Anunoby keeps taking steps. Terrence Davis looks like they found a player. Even if those two guys, Ibaka and Gasol, leave at the end of the year, I still think they're at least a 45-win team a year from now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and clearly they've shown that they can develop players. I mean, like, we forget, like, it's really easy to forget 2 years ago, Siakam is in the D-League. I think he won the MVP. Van Vliet was in the D-League. Like, that's nuts. To do it once is nuts. To do it twice? Like, Van Vliet could be an all-star, couldn't he?
I think if
probably
he plays
not,
enough,
but...
he's in contention. I don't think he'll get in just because of the amount of talent in the East and only so many positions available, but Siakam's going.
Yeah. This is like what the great organizations do. Like, you've watched the Patriots forever. It's like they just keep finding these guys.
Yeah.
Spurs forever.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of a hockey example. Is there a good hockey example?
In terms of, like, Tampa is a recent example, even though they're kind of on the... They're not who they were this time last year.
But points, like a third-round pick.
Yeah.
Palat's a late pick.
They find guys. Kalorn. They find guys. And, like, Tyler Johnson, I think, was a third-round pick. And a lot of guys they draft.
Kucherov.
Kucherov was a third-round pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had the stones to take Vasilevsky in the first round. You don't see a lot of teams that are willing to gamble on a goalie in the first round. Obviously, that's paid off. They traded Ben Bishop to open the door for him.
That's a Belichick move.
That's very Belichickian.
Yeah.
Now, it's obviously Bishop's had his day in Dallas, and it's all good for him, but I don't think anyone would take, if you're building a team today, no one's taking Bishop over Vasilevsky for the next 7 or 8 years.
What's crazy now that I think about it, the Raptors could end up with more wins than the Clippers, given what the Clippers are, like, the Clippers are really good, but given what the Clippers are doing with, like, managing Kawhi and obviously Paul George.
Well, I threw this out yesterday,
nuts.
And it got shot down pretty quickly, but I feel like Kendrick Perkins, who's going to join us in 20 minutes, will end up agreeing with me. I think there's a better chance Siakam gets more MVP votes than Kawhi.
Yes. Well, because Paul George is going to cut into that. And he's not going to play enough games.
He's, he's going to play 60 games again.
Yeah.
And Siakam's going to play upwards of 77, 78, if not all 82.
Mm-hmm.
And Kawhi's expected to do it. Siakam, the expectation isn't there. The Raptors were supposed to fall off. They're not. Like, the narrative is built in for Siakam to get a lot of love. He's not going to be there with Doncic and Giannis and
why
LeBron.
Wouldn't he be in the top five?
Because, top five is very doable.
Because those are the guys I think are ahead of him.
Those three.
And Harden. Did you mention Harden?
I did mention Harden. And Harden, I think maybe we take for granted what
he's
Harden
is. He's going to average almost 40 a game.
I know.
He might average 40.
He'll be in the top five. Those are your four. But with Durant out, Curry's out. Westbrook is not going to get it because he's in Houston.
No. Davis probably gets cut out by LeBron.
Davis, yeah. I mean, if they end up winning like 65 games, he might get some love.
But Siakam's going to be right there.
Siakam's going to be in the top 10, I think.
Insane.
Anyway, Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider, will be in studio in a moment. So a big return tonight in Toronto. Kyle Lowry will return. Sounds like Marner's going to return tomorrow night. Like Mitch Marner, he's only been out for 3 weeks.
Just over three, yeah. It was a Saturday.
Right, and he's eligible to come off the IR tomorrow night against Colorado. It's a back-to-back. They put Nick Shaw on waivers today, and that is believed to be the precursor of a move because they're going to have to put a couple guys on waivers.
They need to do
waivers.
More. Yeah.
Nick Patan out of the lineup tonight, Spezza back in. So I think Patan's going to be a guy that goes down. I think it'll be Shore. I think it'll be Patan.
Marincin they can send right back down.
And Marincin they'll send back down. And they're effectively, I think they're going to have a 20-man roster.
They could.
Yeah. 12 forwards, 6 D, and 2 goalies because the cap crunch, if Marner comes off the IR tomorrow, here we go. Hyman's back. Dermott's back.
Well, and eventually Trevor Moore will come back.
Trevor Moore, they said, is still weeks away. But
I saw him
he's on
working
a
out
ticket,
the other day.
Though, right?
Yeah.
He's like 700 grand, 800 grand.
Yeah.
So not as difficult to mix him in. But,
hi, Bob.
Anyway,
hello,
Bob
Jonas.
In studio. What's up, Bob?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Oh, we're talking about Mitch Marner. It sounds like he's going to play tomorrow night.
Wednesday? That sounds like it. Little ripple effect. I heard you guys, the tail end of the conversation there. Got to drop three bodies.
Three guys. So Shore is one of them today.
Well, put it this way. I would think yes, but assuming he clears waivers, you have the option because you've already...
Yeah, you can keep him.
You could keep him if you want. You could send somebody else, put somebody else down if you want. It's going to be, the way the thing's set up right now, you've got Marincin up, so it gives him seven defensemen. Marner comes into the lineup, three have to come out, or three off the roster, rather. One of them could very well be Shore, but you can send Marincin, could be one of them, too.
Right back down.
Right back down. Yeah. He doesn't need waivers to go down.
Yeah.
Shore, if he clears, he can go down. And then you've got to figure out which one of Patan, Freddie,
Timoshov,
Engvall, Timoshov, Spezza. Five guys.
Engvall makes it a spicy meatball.
He does. So actually, it would be, if you put Shore in the mix, there's six fourth-line forwards, potentially, and two of them would have to go. Or
right.
If you wanted to keep Marincin for any reason, three of them would have to go.
Well, I just checked. Engvall doesn't need waivers.
He doesn't need waivers.
So that's
right?
Helpful.
Okay, there you go.
So that, but he, I've liked
but he's been really good.
His game. He's played well.
Yeah, on merit, he deserves to be there.
Stay.
And obviously, you know, and he was really good with the Marlies. He, you know, they I think they wanted to bring him up. They just weren't sure, I think, before the coaching change, how well or how quickly it would be received.
That's what's so interesting about this. The decisions that they're making now
are different
than they would have made under Babcock. Like, Nick Shore would not probably be going anywhere if Mike Babcock was still the coach. He would be playing tonight.
Yep.
Yeah, he would be.
Nuts. Yep. And Jason Spezza, like, who knows where he would be?
Spezza is an interesting one because right now, other guys are playing ahead of him.
Yeah.
And yet, he was given more opportunity immediately,
mm-hmm.
and in part because of injury, like with Kerfoot and a suspension. So we'll see.
Yeah, we will. I mean, this is what you've been waiting for in Toronto all year. They have not had a healthy lineup, really, at any point. And even though Trevor Moore's out, Trevor Moore will be a fourth-line player, I think, when he returns.
And I think he could be back in anywhere from a week on.
Yeah, Trevor Moore, you mean?
Yeah. 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 So.
But Marner returning this quickly, I was not expecting that.
No. And you know, you always have to get him out there. I always worry with guys with high ankle sprains.
Yes.
And hey, listen, Rantanen came back on Saturday for Colorado, and he lit it up and looks great and seems to be fine. You know, somebody in the medical business once told me about high ankle sprains, and I've used this line often, when you think you're 100%, wait two more weeks. Because the manner in which the twisting and turning of the ankle, and it can really aggravate the condition, and sometimes the sheath that goes over the ligaments and the tendons isn't fully healed. And so you hope for the best, and because if you get a setback, sometimes you're going right back to square one. But hey, listen, the Leafs have a really good sports science department. He wouldn't be playing if they didn't think he was ready. But you still, I always, with those high ankle sprains, I always kind of hold my breath for the player for a game or two.
Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider in studio. So John Hines, the head coach of the New Jersey Devils, he was fired earlier today. They announced an interim head coach. Now, their season, I think it's already down the drain. I don't
think
they're going to be able to get back in it.
Sure looks that way.
But with what's happening right now in the game, there's a part of me that looks at this interim head coach and I wonder, is that really what they wanted to do? Or were they looking at someone else and they're like, you know what? We got to vet that, or we've got to, I don't know if it's a position we want to look into. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's toxic.
To your point, and we talked about this on Insider Dream, one of the things that I think is going to be the most immediate byproduct of everything that's happened with the Babcock story, the Peters story, the Mark Crawford story, and on we go, and who knows what else. But I think one of the most immediate byproducts is that there is going to be a greatly enhanced vetting process. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know this for a fact. I wouldn't be surprised if teams or leagues or associations, if they start looking and saying, you know what, we need to bring in an independent third party to do a much deeper background check on somebody. You know, I mean, you don't want to get into American style politics of Senate confirmation hearings, where the new coach has to sit in front of
Oppo
a bunch
research.
Of people and go through it. But obviously, this highlights an inadequacy on every level. So I think that process needs to become more sophisticated. But to your point, it also becomes a lot more time consuming. In this instance, for New Jersey, I mean, losing to Buffalo the way they lost last night, losing on the weekend, playing the way they have, it's just like, you know what, the season's on fire. We need to make a change right now. And so let's just promote an assistant coach, Alain Nasruddin, and he's the interim head coach, and we'll figure it out as we go here.
Yeah, I don't dispute that at all. I just thought of it on the fly. I'm like, I wonder, I wouldn't be shocked if there was teams that's like, you know, we wouldn't, I in 3 weeks ago, I would hire this guy. But I've heard some stuff, and I don't know if I can do it right now.
Well,
because what if I hire him?
It's not even that you've heard some stuff. It's that you haven't heard anything, and you better find out.
Right. What if you hire him, because and then something comes out?
Yeah, because what general managers and team owners and presidents are quickly figuring out is that this could blow up and blow up big, given the scrutiny and the spotlight that's there. So yeah, you know, buyer beware, or you know, hire beware.
Bob McKenzie in studio. So Caden Primo has been called up by the Habs. I don't think he's going tonight. Price is going tonight, I believe so. But they have a back to back coming up. Colorado on Thursday, at the Rangers on Friday. If they lose tonight, What do you do with this back-to-back? Do you bring up a kid, his first start, to stop the bleeding at the Bell Center?
That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Kazimir Kaskasuo made his first start in Pittsburgh on the second half of back-to-back.
Stop the bleeding. And
team
that
in turmoil.
Go?
It didn't go
right.
well.
Right.
But you said the Colorado's in Montreal on Thursday.
On Thursday. They're at the Rangers on Friday.
Yeah, so I've got to think, I could be wrong, but I've got to think you probably start Primo on Friday.
I think so, too, but that's the winnable game.
It really depends on what happens
tonight.
Tonight.
Right.
And really to happen, see how Carey goes tonight.
Maybe you start them both.
If they lose tonight, well, but Price hasn't been, he's not playing. Like, they started Kincaid. It wasn't a back-to-back.
Yeah, I know.
They just said, we got to start somebody new in Boston.
And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think was yesterday not the anniversary?
The 100?
Patrick, no, of Patrick Roy.
Oh, no, I don't know that.
Of the Patrick Roy Mario Tremblay game?
No, oh. I don't know.
I wow. think it might have been. I'm not sure. Somebody look that up. Research staff.
Yeah, find that out. Because I know it's the 110th anniversary of the team.
Grappler's on it.
Yeah, he'll be grappling with Google and HockeyDB. Because they're doing a really cool thing tonight at the Bell Center. All the players are wearing the old
exactly.
jersey. I mean, it's going to be a really cool scene. But I don't get the impression like anyone in Montreal is in the mood to celebrate the past. Because they're freaking out about the present right now.
They're not. But they played better the last two games. And I know that's hollow because they were winless in eight. But it's, I mean, how would you feel going into this game tonight if your last game was an 8-1 loss to the Boston Bruins instead of a 3-1 loss where for 40 minutes you played flawless hockey? Mm-hmm. You got to build on that and you got to try and find a way to get on the right side of it.
We'll find out. All right, Bob.
Awesome.
Good seeing you, man.
Off to do Leafs, Flyers.
Leafs, Flyers tonight on TSN 4. The O-Dog's got some homework. I don't know if he told you about
this. Did he do some?
Oh, well, this is good. Tell Bob.
He's supposed to... He's supposed to mix in like some of the soccer terms. Like, we've got an obsession with Stephen Caldwell, like tantalizing match and blistering counterattack. So he's going to try to mix it into his analysis tonight. So be ready for that because he might do it with an accent.
Bob could even steal it and do it himself.
Yeah, you could.
So I've got to pay attention to that. And Caldwell, I'm assuming he's Scottish, correct?
Yes, Caldwell is
heavily Scottish. I just wanted to make sure that I'm pretty good with those accents because my dad was from Ireland. But what I'm prepared now to do, if I see O going for that, I'm going to maybe have to say to him, "Oh, if it's not Scottish, it's crap."
Right. That's the blistering.
He'll go in the Elmer Fudd Hall of Fame for that.
Right. We were trying to say the Elmer Ferguson, and I'm like, "What is it called, Elmer?" And he goes, "The Elmer Fudd, deadpan, Elmer Fudd." You're a part of the.
I've got a Fudd.
You got a.
There you go. I have a Fudd plaque.
Yeah, that's going to be an overdrive thing. That's if anyone we really like, you're going into the Elmer Fudd.
Professional hockey wide.
There you go. Bob's the first member.
Yeah, you're in. You're officially in the
inaugural class.
Okay, yeah, if I don't get down onto the set for the Leaf game, I'm going to be the
good luck
last member.
You're going into the
Thanks,
fun.
Bob.
Officially.
Thanks,
there's Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider. All right, Kendrick Perkins coming up, ESPN NBA analyst, on why he believes Pascal Siakam, the award were to be handed out tonight, would be top five MVP. What does he expect out of Kyle Lowry on his return? There's a lot going on in the NBA. We'll catch up with Kendrick Perkins next. All right, we have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs Hurricanes, December 23rd. That's the 2 p.m. game.
Jake Gardner return, I think.
Jake Gardner's return. He'll get a montage.
Yeah.
He'll get, I think, a round of applause.
It'll be more mixed than Kadri tomorrow.
Kadri's going to get a massive jump. He should. I mean, you never know with this crowd.
True.
So Wednesday night, who knows? But he should get... We got back-to-back big returns. Kadri tomorrow. Next Wednesday, Kawhi comes back.
That'll be even bigger.
I can't wait to see the reaction to Kawhi. And I can't wait to see what his reaction is going to be to being the center of attention. I don't think he's going to change. I think he'll just be the same guy. But
what are the betting odds on him crying?
Can't find it. Off the board. There's just no chance. Again, Leafs Hurricanes, December 23rd. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you have the chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue. This former Maple Leaf set a career high in goals while in Toronto, scoring 37 in one season. There you go. Our poll question today brought to you by JerseyFactory.com. We just brought this up with Bob. We were talking about it with O earlier. Noodles calling the Leaf game tonight in Philly on TSN 4. And he is under strict orders to mix in some of Stephen Caldwell's sayings from the MLS Cup final on TSN. And we're asking people, which footy term do you want Noodles to use during the game tonight? If you can only pick one of these three options, which one do you want? 54%, blistering counterattack. 32%, tantalizing match. And 14%, half chance. Tantalizing match won't happen because we don't call hockey a match.
But you don't need to say that it's a match. You can just say it's a tantalizing match of talents.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
You can just frame.
Yeah, you could have a board up like Giroux versus.
It's
Matthews
a tantalizing match we've got here.
Yeah.
Okay. My question to you is, who is the most likely to use it? And I think we know who the least likely is to use it.
I don't think will have. He won't use it on the panel.
No.
Ray will use something tonight, I think.
I agree.
I think Ray will drop a half chance. I think half chance is a high probability. Again, the poll question brought to you by JerseyFactory.com. Custom team uniforms and logos at prices to suit any budget. Play like a pro. Look like a pro. JerseyFactory.com. So Kendrick Perkins of ESPN, hopefully we'll catch up with him momentarily. Kyle Lowry returning to the lineup tonight. Looking forward to seeing Kyle. I think he's going to reinsert himself, and I think he's going to be very active and expect minutes and expect to be the drill sergeant again. Well, starting tonight.
He was off to an amazing start.
Yeah, really. And you don't lose your spot based on an injury.
Not that guy. Second best player on a title team.
No. Was he? Do you think he was better than Siakam?
I was thinking about that yesterday. I think he was better for the bulk of the playoffs than Siakam.
He had a better, like game six, he was a machine. Remember game six?
He came out like 11-0, didn't he?
Yes. He was an absolute machine in game six. Like, you knew they were winning that game because Kyle Lowry said, it's over tonight. Like, we're winning this title tonight in your building.
Mm-hmm.
Game six, he was the best player on the court. But Siakam, over the course of the playoff run, I think was slightly more effective. Game one, remember, Siakam was like 14 from 17 from the field.
Yeah, but he was more inconsistent. Like, he had moments at the end of the Philly series, I think. Remember when no one wanted to shoot it? Like, yeah. There were moments like that where it looked a little more uneasy. But what's interesting about Kyle and I guess the team in general, and you talk about that game, it was like that mentality that we thought they had from previous playoff runs just totally disappeared.
Yeah.
Where it was like, they look like we're going to win this. Not, it's LeBron, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Now, they didn't have to face LeBron. I think that went a long way.
That helps.
That would have been interesting to see. If LeBron re-signed in Cleveland, you know they would have got to the dance. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't matter now. I'm glad they didn't have to face him. It opened up the path right to the NBA Finals, and it's the same thing with Kevin Durant. You know, you hear some people say, I wish they had an opportunity to beat the Warriors with Kevin Durant. I don't.
That's okay.
I have no interest in checking that out. I'd prefer to play a team that is beaten and battered to make sure you finally win your first title. That because sounds ideal to me.
No one will remember.
Nobody cares. If you're a Raptor fan, you don't care.
Yeah.
You're just looking for wins. You want 16 wins in the spring. If you get me 16 wins, I don't care who they were against. I don't care how they were played. Just give them to me. Like, it's the same thing with the Leafs. Like, we'll get to this point. If it's kind of getting to a point where they might play Boston in the first round, it'll be, should they play them? Do you want to see them beat Boston? Do they have to beat Boston? Ideally, that would be great. But if they don't play them and they win the first round, I'm not going to complain about that. I just want to see them actually win four games in April, late April. That would be nice for the first time in 15 years.
2004?
15 years, the Leafs have not won a playoff round.
Seems impossible, doesn't it?
It really is. Like, it's
for a team with the resources and everything. But, I mean, they've been right there.
Right and there? Like, they went 10 years without making the playoffs.
No. Right there to winning a series.
Yeah, the last couple years. Yeah. And even against Boston in 13, they were up 4-1 with 11 minutes to go.
Yes.
That's their best opportunity. You look back on it.
Last year, 3-2.
I don't think so, man. Well, 4-1 I guess you're with 11
guess,
minutes
yeah,
to go.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
That's a great. I wish we could do that. I wish we could have that type of hypothetical. What would you prefer to go back and have a chance at doing again? Up 4-1 with 11 minutes to go, same team, same players, same coaches, same building, or up 3-2, game six. Back in Toronto, well, Sunday afternoon.
Do you know why I'll stick with my answer? Because the team last year would have actually had a chance probably to win everything.
Like to go to a cup final?
No.
Yeah.
Especially
Columbus
like that
next round.
Granted, like that 2013 team, I think they would have played the Rangers. And they could have beaten the Rangers.
Lower seed. Then.
But that was not a great team. Last year's team, that's a pretty good team. Like, that's a cup
It would have been team. Columbus, Carolina the next two rounds. Heavy favorites.
Yes.
Home ice advantage in both. Yeah. But I think in terms of probability, give me 4-1 with 11 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And I think they win 99 times out of 100.
100%.
Up 3-2 in a series because that Boston team was obviously legit as well.
Mm-hmm.
Both Boston teams were. That Boston team went to a cup final in 13. But I'll take 4-1, 11 minutes to go, and roll the dice again over up 3-2, two games to close it out every time.
This was all in my mind recently, just thinking about Kadri and the suspensions. And you'll talk about that, I'm sure, tomorrow.
But is that his legacy, though?
Like, well, that literally is what I wrote about. Like, I don't know that that should define it, but it's pretty nuts. Like, I mean, when does that ever happen? A player of his magnitude, importance, get suspended not once, twice, 2 years in a row, same opponent, same style of thing.
Same place on the ice.
It's nuts.
It was the same corner.
Yes. It's crazy.
I'd like to find that out. I know Noodles is one of them. How many players have left a team on suspension?
That was the last thing he did as a Leaf.
Last thing he ever did was cross-check Jake DeBrusque in the face. Last thing. But I think, clearly, it's a big part of his legacy here. But he kind of defined the new era in Toronto, even though it was a different front office that, like, Burke was the one that drafted him.
Mm-hmm.
But he was the first high draft pick, developed properly, junior, Marlies.
Lived up to the hype.
Developed into a stud, loved playing here, represented the Maple Leafs, wanted to be a Maple Leaf.
Yeah.
And after that, Morgan Riley's the next installation, and then you've got Matthews, Marner, Nylander.
Well, what I was wrestling
with, it all started with him.
Looking back now, and obviously the season's not done, we can't really evaluate it totally yet. Was it like still the right move to trade him?
It's way too early to tell. Because Barry hasn't pulled his weight yet. He has the last five games.
I think the more interesting part of the equation is Kerfoot. Because like Barry is going to be... We're seeing what Barry kind of is. But if Kerfoot's not close to what Kadri is / was, then I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, Kadri is clearly a better player than Kerfoot now.
And how much I think
closer,
he will be.
But how much closer can Kerfoot get by the end of the year?
I don't see it.
I don't know.
Yeah, he's not. He's just not going to be Nazem Kadri. He's not going to be, I don't know, within 10% of his abilities, 15% of his abilities. Because like he plays with a little bit of edge.
Yeah, he
Kerfoot,
does.
But he's not Kadri. And yes, Kadri can go over the edge. We just detailed that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all aware of it. But he is a guy that brings an element to your team that is sorely lacking on this Maple Leaf team.
Swag, edge,
yeah. Unpredictability, a guy that he wears losing, which I think actually goes a long way, and also he can score.
Yeah.
Like Kerfoot doesn't have his scoring ability. Kadri's going to score 30 again. That'll be three times in 4 years he's going to hit 30. Kerfoot, I don't think he'll ever score 30. And that's ultimately what the trade is going to come down to. If Barry ends up leaving and they don't do anything this year with Barry here, you just effectively downgraded at the third center position to save $1 million a year. Because yeah. Kerfoot's at 3.5 and Kadri was at 4.5
yeah.
per year.
Well, and the tough part is, like, you make that trade. Kadri's your best chip, right, to get a defenseman. And Barry didn't really solve the area of need that they had. And that's what's complicated about it. Like, he made their team better, right? Because, like, on the right side, you have Zaitsev and Hainsey. Barry's better than those guys.
Mm-hmm.
You find a replacement for Kadri, one who's not as good, but a replacement. But you didn't solve, like, your biggest area of need. Like, we were talking about Cody Ceci atop the show. That's still, like, the big question mark.
Yeah.
And yet they moved the piece that was supposed to get them something to fix that. And it didn't fix it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's complicated.
Yeah, it is. And Dubas, I mean, he's got a lot at stake here. They have to win. They're supposed to win this year.
Otherwise, why do it?
Exactly. There's no point in doing it. And why not, if you're going to throw away a season in retrospect, you can look back and say, why didn't you do a lot of things differently? But lucky for them, yeah, they haven't had the greatest start. They still have 55 games left to play.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of time for them to figure this out. Like, Montreal's going through it right now. Montreal is losing their minds. But even if they lose tonight, their season isn't over. It's going to feel that way. They got the Islanders at home. If the Islanders roll in there and lay a beating on them, Montreal is going to go crazy. But if they beat Colorado on Thursday and then the Rangers on Friday, they'll probably be back in a playoff spot. Like, outside of, again, a handful of teams at both ends of the spectrum, the five best, the five worst, all those 20 teams in the middle are just going back and forth, back and forth. Vancouver's doing it. Winnipeg's done it.
Calgary.
Calgary's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could see Calgary could still make the playoffs
easy
by 7 or 8 points.
Yeah.
And all this will be forgotten.
See, that's why, like, when you looked at the Babcock thing, it was 23 games. There was still so much time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could say, well, they're running out of time, but, like, 3 wins in a row, and you're right back in a playoff spot. Now they're not.
Yeah. But that, you know, happened, I mean, like, 2 weeks prior to him being fired, when they ran off those 3 wins in a row. They were 9-5-3 or something.
Yeah.
And it didn't look good. They weren't wins in regulation. They weren't pretty. It didn't seem sustainable. It felt like there was some real issues there. But at that time, you're like, yeah, not a great start, but 9-5-3, not bad.
Mm-hmm. Injuries, so, new players, all that stuff.
Yeah. Make sure you bail on winter and win a spot on TSN 1050 Superfan Spring Break. It's an ultimate hockey vacation courtesy of bookseats.com. Join Toronto as they take on Tampa Bay and Florida down in the Sunshine State, including round-trip flights, 4 nights accommodations, and tickets to both games in late Feb. To enter, follow us on Instagram at TSN 1050 and at bookseats.com. Again, on Instagram, find our latest Superfan Spring Break post and tag who you are bringing on this trip. On Friday, tune into Overdrive. If your handle is announced, you have 10 minutes and 50 seconds to call in and claim your prize. Visit tsn1050.ca for all the details. Bookseats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world, simplifying the way fans travel. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Lowry's back for the Raptors. We'll tee that up. Freddie Anderson in net down in Philly for the Maple Leafs. We'll tee that up as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, so Kyle Lowry returns tonight for the Raptors down at Scotiabank, taking on the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler back in town. We haven't seen Jimmy in a while. He's always had some pretty big games lined up against the Raptors, like when he was a Bull.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much in Minnesota, but last year against Philly. I mean, he was the guy that really scared you in that playoff round. Because Embiid kind of came and went. Ben Simmons, we know what he's all about. It was Butler was the guy that you knew. If he showed up and put up 30, he could be in trouble. And he did that a few times in that round last year.
They really miss him in Philly, too. Like, that makes them a little less... I mean, we're talking about playoff series. That makes them less threatening than they would have been.
Yep.
But I think you got to mention what you told me in the break about the Leafs. That's interesting.
Jason Spezza on the right wing.
Of?
With John Tavares and Ilya Mikheyev tonight.
So the placeholder for Mitch Marner, basically.
Which means Marner's coming back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because that means he's setting up, Keith is setting up Hyman, Kerfoot, Kapanen as a third line, and he wants them to get some run tonight
mm-hmm.
to carry it over to tomorrow. So I think that effectively tells the story. Mitch Marner, I think, is going to play tomorrow night. Which, I mean, that's amazing for the Leafs. They need him. His absence has been felt in many different ways, in many different areas. He might be the poster boy of the Sheldon Keefe, Kyle Dubas style of play, like what they're looking to achieve and looking to do. He might benefit the greatest from, you know, more puck possession, more freedom on the ice, more freedom when you have the puck. He seemed to have a lot of freedom under Babcock as well.
Mm-hmm.
But this might open him up to even more avenues to be effective. So I'm looking forward to it. If he returns tomorrow night, that's going to be big.
I'm surprised still.
I am too.
Just because of the nature of the injury. Yeah, like it just feels soon. And I'm sure he's probably itching to get back. Like you saw him on that trip when they were on the road in Arizona. I saw him like they were practicing the other day and he was like watching from the workout room. Like he's probably dying to be back, but it just with high ankle sprains.
Maybe that was a precursor or a little bit of an indicator when they flew him out to Colorado. Because maybe it was, you know what, he's back and he's ready, like at that point. And he couldn't come off until the 28 days, I believe it is, of IR. But
it's
maybe
plus 10 games, 24.
Okay. Whatever the rules are, maybe yeah. He could have played back then. Like, maybe he was ready. Maybe he is a freak, and he just, after 2 weeks, he's like, I'm better, man. But we've already gone through with the paperwork, so I can't play until the technicalities free us up. But that might have been an indicator back then. Who knows?
That's what's interesting. Like, we still haven't seen, like you mentioned, and we still won't, what they look like altogether. Like, those first 23 games with Babcock, they didn't have Marner some, they didn't have Tavares some, they didn't have Hyman some, mm-hmm. they didn't have Dermott for a big chunk of that. They've never kind of fully realized what they are. So now we're going to get to see it.
We're going to see it tonight. Raptors in action again. The Leafs in action tonight. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I am on Montreal to beat the Islanders tonight.
Wow. That's a bold pick.
They have to win at some point.
The Islanders,
like, I know that's such a ridiculous take, but...
The Islanders don't lose that much, though.
But they've been on the road for a while. They were out west. You know, this feels like, you know, the pressure's on the Habs. They've got to start digging themselves out. And I think they've actually played okay the past couple of games. They've had 40-plus shots in both games. Against Boston, the first 40 minutes, they were absolutely the better team. They're fragile. If they get down, I'm not sure they're going to be able to get back into it. But I think they start hot tonight. I'm on the Habs. I'm on Florida at home against Minnesota. And I think Vancouver cruises past Ottawa tonight. Throw down 20, you can score 72. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. All right, Jonas, good seeing you, man.
This was fun.
Thank you for doing this, as always.
My pleasure. Are you going to flip back and forth tonight?
I'm watching both games, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I want to see Noodles calling the game on TSN4 and see if he does what he's supposed to tonight. Tantalizing match, counter or blistering counterattack. I want to see if Ray's going to do that on TSN 5 tonight.
Top bin, is that his one?
Top bin. If someone shoots bar down tonight, he's going to say that one top bin. That's more for his kids than for us. And the O-Dog on the panel, too. We'll see what he's got. And maybe you can mix it into an article on the
Athletic. I was thinking I can do half chance, easy.
Find a way to get
that
in.
And I can do the other ones, no problem. I'm going to do it.
Okay. When's your next article due?
Well, tomorrow, but it's already...
It's already been written. All right. Well,
but after the game, there you go. I'll join in. I want consideration for the Elmer Fudd wing of the Overdrive Hall of Fame.
There's only one way in. It's only one way in.
You just fall backwards in.
Yes. Right? The more ridiculous statement you make or you write, better chance you have.
All right.
Bye, right, buddy. Good seeing you, man.
Thanks.
There he is, Jonas Siegel from The Athletic. We're out of here. Leafs coming up tonight. Raptors coming up tonight. The O-Dog and Noodles will be back tomorrow at 4 p.m. We'll chat then.
Scarborough Nissan is one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. And they'd like to thank their customers for the continued support during the construction on Eglinton. Come on in. They're open.
The Nissan Clearout sales event is on now. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Includes $300 bonus cash.
Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Visit them on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Ave. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout sales event is on. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.